I have purposed in my heart that Sunday morning I'm going to keep things more practical and something you can grab a hold of and use this week. I'm going to get away from the deeper things of God. And I'm going to hit that on a Wednesday night. I'm going to get into line upon line and precept upon precept. And that's where people will come and hear and listen. It's unfortunate that the whole church doesn't show up on Wednesdays. But you have to have an ear to hear. That's how God's seed, the Word of God, is planted in your heart. It's through the ear gate. You got to be able to hear it. It is not planted in your spirit by your mouth. It's planted in your spirit by the ear gate. And then as a result of that, you'll speak. Because speaking is how you release your faith, but speaking is not how you get your faith. You get your faith from hearing, and you release it by speaking. And so, if consequently, Paul struggled with the fact that the Jews became dull at listening to the Word of God, the converted Jew, and so they wanted to go back into Judaism. And so as a result of that, he was having a very difficult time getting the deeper things of God across to the converted Jew because they wanted to go back into Judaism. Well, when you want to go back into Judaism, you can surely tell that they didn't hear what was being preached about Jesus. And that's why the book of Hebrews is written to a converted Jew. They wanted to forsake the assembling of the Christian church. They wanted to go back into Judaism, and he said, well, then what sacrifice are you going to lean to if you abandon the ultimate sacrifice that the Old Testament Judaism pointed to? Now, we've used it as not forsaking ourselves today in the assembly of God. But usually, your spirituality is an issue of your heart, and it shows up. It shows up in your faithfulness. When you're faithful with God, it's because God's getting into your spirit and delivering the soul. How many understand what I'm talking about? If you will, open your Bibles up to Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. A lot of churches, what they do is they shut a move of God down because the minister does not want to take the place of responsibility to correct the body when they go into error. And I'm not going to shut the spirit and move of God down. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to have people get up and prophesy and everything. But when I see that there needs to be some instruction given, I'm going to give it. You don't kick the Holy Ghost out just because men can't plug in properly to the corporate anointing. Say. Okay, in Psalms 90, let's go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now embark on the Word for the next few minutes, Father, I pray that you anoint the ears of the hearer to hear. Anoint the lips of the speaker to speak. And Father, between the two, much can be accomplished. We're in a fight, Father, for our spiritual life. For the spiritual life of the body of Christ. And so, Father, may the words come across and be anointed by God. Not man's understanding or intellect, but Father, that which the Holy Spirit has imparted to the body to take a serious look at in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I don't know about you, but we're living in a time period right now where it seems like nobody has time. And I don't know where that concept has come from, but you get out on the highways and you're driving down the freeways, and how many of you notice that anymore you have to plan at least 2 hours at certain periods of time, or you have to really prioritize what you want to do because there just seemingly is not enough room for everybody to get to where they got to go. And then if there's an accident or a wreck, that makes it worse. I was in a huge line of traffic, and we hadn't expected it. And I turned to the car next to me, and this lady was screaming in her car at the car ahead of her, pounding her steering wheel, and just going ape. And so we were following. As we were driving alongside her, I kept looking over at her, and she was, it looked like if that woman didn't calm down, she was going to have a heart attack. And I said, my Lord, I meant, she's not going to make it. She's going to die in her car before she even gets where she's going, because she was in fits of rage, shaking her fist. Finally, she looked over and saw me. I don't know if you guys ever seen that commercial on TV where that girl's singing to these oldies, you know, and there's an elderly couple in the car next to her looking at her. She notices them and kind of looks away, you know. Well, when she saw me, she kind of looked that way, and so as we were driving along, I looked over, and in a glance, she was calm as can be. Just, she probably knew I'd probably be looking over at her again, you know. How many of you talk to people a lot in your car as though they hear you? My wife, Sue. Whew! Man alive, I feel sorry for the people that she's talking about. Oh, Friday, I was hollering it? Oh, that's right, yes. That's right. You got me this time. When did I do that, honey? Well, she took the punchline away. As I was meditating on this woman, the Lord said, she kind of looks like you. My wife had to add that before I got to that punchline. So, but it just kind of shows us how geared up we are in this issue of time. You know. And the thing that came back to me really strongly was Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And you know, I think there's 86,400 seconds in a 24-hour day. Each night, it comes to a close. And then it starts recounting those seconds. Have you ever thought of that? And I remember when one guy said, what happens if you had a bank account with $86,400 in it, and if you didn't spend it that day, it would close out that night and you'd have to start all over again? Boy, I meant some of us would make sure that we spent as much of that money as we could before it closed out that night. Because once it closed out, you ain't going to gain that time back. But you have another day. Knowing the lusts of men, we'd probably make every day 86,4, man. We'd find some way to spend it. You know, when it comes to money, there's a tremendous issue in our hearts that can so bring us such a deception to us. We can spend our whole life on the issue of money, and it wouldn't mean a hill of beans to us or God. But yet you see people today doing that. James talked about these guys. He says they go somewhere, they buy, they sell, and they don't even ask God. And he says if God was involved in the life, they should say, I'll go here, and I'll buy, and I'll sell, I'll do this and that. But he says you've heaped up treasure to be an indictment against you in the latter times. Money, the issue of money. So we know that money is very important because money is always attached to time. Money is always attached to time. And we value our life by the money that we make off the time that it takes. How many follow what I'm saying? And I've learned that when we get into a place like that, we're losing precious time. We don't even know it. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the subject of how precious your time is in this natural life. How precious your time is. And every moment on earth serves two eternities. One eternity past and one future. So in Psalms 90, verse 12 here, it's talking about the things that involve time. So teach us to number our days, notice this, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Do you know what this literally means? If a man is not taught the value of time in his life, then this man will not apply his heart to sound wisdom. That's it, that because of what he's... So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If a guy does not learn how to prioritize his life, if he doesn't learn how to number his days, he'll never attain. That person will never attain to the wisdom of God. You know, the saddest thing on earth is to see somebody born into this world and waste it serving their flesh. I'll never forget the last time we went to California. We were going into a coffee shop. Kenny and all of us, John Shear and all of us. And as we were going into the coffee shop, there was this beautiful young girl. I mean, she was gorgeous. You looked into her eyes were beautiful blue. She was sitting there, all in a ball, asking for money. And my heart just went out to her. Young, beautiful girl like that, just throwing her life away for drug money. What a senseless waste of flesh. But you know something? It isn't just a waste of flesh, but I looked beyond her physical being, and I saw a spirit on the inside of her that is an eternal being. That is an eternal being. Yes, I ended up giving her some money, but very little. But I just want to say this, that God does not dwell in time. God lives in the concept of eternity. And until you understand this, you'll never prioritize your day. You'll never have any value of your time. Have you noticed young people? They don't know the value of time. They don't know the value of life. Why? They don't have a sense of fear even of death. But yet death seizes upon young people every day. But how we operate in time is in fact how we conduct our lives, our days, our hours, our minutes, and our seconds. And guess what? This is an interpretation of our existence. This is an interpretation of our existence. You know, I thank God he called me into the ministry, but I thank God he jerked the slats out of me about 4 years ago. Because I was serving ministry out of duty for God rather than compassion for humanity. And he switched and changed my heart. And he said if he hadn't gotten me to switch and change my heart, I would have served him for naught over my own life. And there are Christians doing it. I know Christians now are trying to appease God by doing good works for man. God don't want that kind of appeasement, thank you. He wants your love, but he wants you to choose to love him and serve him out of love for him. That's our Father. That's our Heavenly Father. In Ecclesiastes, a very interesting book, 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time, and to every purpose under the heaven. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to live, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to reap. Are you following me? And a man who asks God to teach him I'll put a watch over his time in life. Then a day will not tick by. It won't just pass by with no value to it. That's why I enjoy, this is one of the things that helped me understand about my fellowship with the Father. Not my relationship with Him, my fellowship with Him. I don't want a day go by without me fellowshipping with my Father, or that's a wasted day for me. It might not be a wasted day for you because you don't have that fellowship on a consistent basis. But I'll tell you what, that's throwing my life away in a garbage can when I don't take time every day to fellowship with my Father. Why? He needs to do something with my heart and life on a consistent basis. Say, God told me, whenever you learn how to fellowship with me, He says, your day is brought to completion. Matthew 16:3 says that we need to discern the times, the signs of the times. We need to discern the signs of the times. And people, if you can't discern that something is happening to our precious time, it might just be me, I don't know. It might be because I'm 58 years old, I don't know. Maybe time's going faster by. But how many of you are viewing time today, and it seems like, my gosh, where did this month go? Where did this week or this year go? I meant, boy, you just begin to wonder what happened to it. It was here today and gone tomorrow. You know, Matthew 16:26, I like what Jesus said. Though a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what is he profited? If he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, and we value our time predicated on what we accomplish here rather than what we are being conformed to for eternity. If a man's soul isn't delivered, what good does it do? You think of all the people that die, wealthy people that die, and they're not born again. Can you imagine? Look at Elvis Presley. He had an opportunity when he was a young person to get into God, and he didn't take it, and threw his whole life away. But he had a spiritual hunger in him before he died. But he threw his whole life away. He gained the whole world and lost his own soul. Yep. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there real quick like. The reason I'm bringing you this message is because many of you have thought how valuable and precious you were at the Lord one time. You've lost that vision. You've lost that concept. Your life is very valuable to Him and very precious. In Ephesians chapter 5, go to verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit, wrong. The fruit of the light. The fruit of the light. The fruit of the light. So we know that we have been called out of darkness into light. You know what it means by being called out of darkness into light? It means that we can walk in such a way we won't stumble. Or we won't bring error into our life. It goes on down to verse 14. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This is written to believers. And what's he asking them to do? He's asking believers to wake up. Why is he asking them to wake up? They fell asleep. Yep. And you know something? A sleeping believer, you can't tell him apart from a dead unbeliever. They look the same. And he's telling him here, awake. Wake up. Wake up. And he says, and Christ shall give thee light. So this means that believers can get born again, enter into the kingdom of God, and go right back into darkness. He says here that He will give thee light. And look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And here we go back to wisdom. When a man's time is valuable to him, other than the things of this world, but the value of his time is for the kingdom of God, this man will find wisdom in his life. And the word circumspectly here is the Greek word Akrobos, which is a very interesting word. That's where we get acrobatics. This means to be accurate, to be careful. This word literally means you have to be diligent. It's an athletic term. It means that God requires us to have exact timing in our life. God wants you to have exact timing in our life. And how many times do I see believers and hear them say to me, I can't believe all the time that I wasted. I can't believe the things that I've done I wish I had not done. My gosh, people, we have a glorious walk with our Lord. He says it's light. In Colossians chapter 4, I think it's verse 5, go over there, 4-5. He says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. The word for redeeming the time, are you ready? Literally means to buy up opportunities. To buy up opportunities for people. You know, Jesus was a beautiful example of how to spend his life. The life of Jesus came when the fullness of the time was come. Galatians 4:4. He was not 1 minute early or late. Jesus was a perfect example of the fullness when the fullness of time had come. You see. Over in Mark 1:15, it says, the time is fulfilled. He says, my hour has come. You see. You know, I want you to write this down. God wants you to live strategically. Because wisdom is strategic planning. He doesn't want you to live your life on some conveyor belt that when at the end of the conveyor belt you're just dumped off. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to have purpose in life. He wants you to live strategically. And how you begin to live strategically, that everything that the kingdom of God has to offer you, you take it and you run with it full course, and you're not wasting your time. I was talking to Dennis before we came down here, and I said, Dennis, do you feel like you've lost time? And he says, yeah, I really do. I says, no, you're not. I says, you're taking care of my little microphone pack right here. I says, you're getting credit for that. Your time is not being wasted. You know, a lot of us don't realize when getting them classrooms to teach them little kids, your time is not being wasted. It's recorded for eternity. There's a reward in that. You know, a lot of us think that we're going to be rewarded. We're going to be blessed with a blessing from God because we get behind the pulpit or we fulfill some kind of ministry. Baloney. God says that you fulfilled your time with Him accurately when you're presently doing present tense in accuracy with Him. You're taking care of the little things first so He can move you to the big things. You see. There's where you have value in your time. And apart from Christ, I like what my pastor told me years ago. He looked over at me and he slapped me on the knee and he said, Jan, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. I'll never forget Don Rogney telling me that. It rang in my spirit. See, when you have no sense of purpose or no sense of direction, it's just like being on a conveyor belt. If somebody will add something to you, you just go moving right along. And God doesn't want you to feel that way. See, if you take deliberate steps that you're following on purpose, then you are deliberately investing into an energy, an effort, where it really counts in life. With God. I don't know how many times my soul, my reasoning told me, if I'd have done something else other than what I'm presently doing. Hey, I'm happy. I'm happy. Why, He called me to be a servant to you. Praise God. Oh, if we could only learn that. Did you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I never seen it before? Turn over there just for a minute. We'll be closing in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I never seen this chapter this way until this morning when God spoke it to me, because I'm getting ready to put together a marital seminar thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's go to a verse that's very interesting. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, and it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Isn't that an interesting verse? I got to thinking, my gosh, there's a lot of Christians that are already doing that. They're following Scripture and they don't even realize it. But that's not where Paul was coming from on this verse. He was literally building upon each verse as he moves along. And here's what he come down to. When he said the time is short, he wasn't referring to eschatology, how soon the Lord was going to return. He was talking about the shortness of natural life. And it's this whole chapter, I hadn't seen it before, but it all centers around avoiding the distractions that life can bring you until spiritual endowment is settled in first. Because when you get married, if spirituality is not settled into the male and female, then that could be a tremendous distraction for what God wants to accomplish in your heart for eternity. Because you see, God looks at marriage as nothing more than merely a fulfillment of the need of our souls. It's called soul tie. He created, Adam had perfect environment. He had a perfect God he fellowshiped with. But he didn't say, no, I'm not going to make you a woman because she'll distract you from me. That's not the purpose of God bringing Eve to Adam. He brought Eve to Adam because he wanted Adam's soul complete. But the only way that he can remain as a completed soul is to stay linked to God. And not move out from under God and take the woman over God. How many understand what I'm talking about? See, God has to be first place in our heart and life. He has to be first place. And if you're concerned about whether or not God wants you to get married or not, I'll tell you what. You might as well just take a look at your own spirituality first. And if you're plugged in, you're on fire for God. Then God doesn't care if you get married. He doesn't care. He just wants you to understand His discernment of being plugged into Him first so that there's no time lost in your life. Most people get married out of hormones. What a sad life. That will come to ruin. Because life is more meaningful than just flesh. So we know that 1 Corinthians 7 is the one area of relationships that will carry on into eternal issues. Relationships carry on into eternal issues. How many of you know that? You know, when you look back on your time, what can you say about it? When you look back on your time, what can you say about it? Well, you're probably not too happy with what you accomplished in the natural, but you can sure be happy if you've accomplished a lot for God spiritually. You know, in Acts 24, I think it's verse 25, this is where Paul was trying to catch Felix, and Felix put it off, said, I'll take care of it some other day. Listen, if Jesus came and time stopped, what would you look back on and wish you'd have done differently? If Jesus came and time stopped, what would you look back on and done differently? That's a good question you need to ask yourself. If time would stop, what would you look back on and wish you'd have done differently? Have you ever thought about that? Boy, I have. More so lately. Why? Time's flying. What would you have said? What would you have done? You know, God told me that He has tried to do more and He's tried to reach further, but He's having difficulty fine-tuning and getting His people into alignment. They're just not really interested in him. They get excited over him at first, then they fall away. They become complacent. First place it shows up is in their work before the Lord in the church. Becomes job-related rather than church-related. God has tried to bring you closer into alignment with His will. But, you know, just like Felix, when it's more convenient. I don't want you all to get bummed out on this revelation, okay? Don't get bummed out on it. We don't have forever in the natural. In the natural, we don't have forever. Spiritually, we have forever. Queen Elizabeth of England dying in closing. She said, all my possessions for one moment more of time. All my possessions for one more moment of time. So many face final moments of time with regret. If they'd only had more time. If only I'd have done the whatever. Apostle Paul said, for I am now ready, for my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Esther 4:14. When she was used of God to prevent destruction and annihilation of the Jews, Mordecai was a man of God and recognized the hand of God upon Esther. And he said to Esther, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? See, you are here with a purpose. There is a divine purpose on your life. There's a divine strategy on your life. If David the Beloved said that his substance was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that meant God had exact moment, exact time, right just specifically for him. Amen? That meant that every one of you in this room, your members have been written in the Book of Life. God has specific time and a specific plan and a specific season for your life, and you need to grab a hold of that. Right. And take a look at it very serious. And I'm not talking about taking a look at accomplishments. I'm talking about taking a look at it from the viewpoint of being presently in fellowship with the Lord and pressing in on Him. How many understand what I'm talking about? See, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. People, we are close to the return of the Lord. And you have come to the time of this kind of purpose. Amen? It's not an escape mentality that we're to look for. We're to look at the purpose. If the shortness of His time is returning, then we need to catch as many as we can in the net till the net starts to break. Did you get something here today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Because Your Word is the very thing that puts substance into our lives. Your Word is the very means through which our life is corrected. Father, it is the means that our very existence is here. And so, Father, as this Word has went forth today, I pray that everyone here who had ears to hear, I pray that they hear it in such a way that they value their time. They value their time. And Father, I just pray that everyone here will do some soul searching today and begin to realize that presently everything that they should be doing in life has got to be in such a manner that it's done with excellence, it's done with completion, not excuses, but purpose and direction, fulfillment of what they put their mouth to in Jesus' name.